Let's open our Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 3, if you would please. Philippians chapter 3. Always an honor to be able to preach while our pastor is away. I certainly do not take that lightly, and I want to be a help to us tonight. Of course, our theme for the year is growth. Not just numerical growth, although that will come, but individual spiritual growth. As Pastor mentioned Sunday, it's about putting first things first. It's about giving God the preeminence and doing so with our time and with our treasure. And if we're going to continue to grow spiritually, we have to be careful about complacency and comparison. It was Pat Riley who once said, "Complacency is the last hurdle standing between any team and its potential greatness." And church, God has some great things in store for us. We'll begin reading here in just a few moments, but if I could just lay the foundation, we know life brings with it a mixed bag of emotions. Last year, no doubt, there were some happy moments and there were some sad moments. There were some moments of joy and laughter, and there were some moments of heartbreak and sadness. There were some days when things were going well, something triggered a thought, a memory, and an emotion, and you really didn't know what to do with it. Maybe you felt lost. Maybe you felt stuck. Maybe you just didn't know how to define it. Maybe it's a success you don't know that you'll ever relive. Maybe it's a failure you don't know you'll ever get over. Maybe it's a memory you're chasing but never able to capture. I don't know what it is for you this evening, but I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that at times is misapplied and misunderstood, but I believe will be a help to us while we live in the present and give proper place to the past. Let me just say this before moving on. The past doesn't have to be something you lost. It can be something you cherish while you're experiencing the blessings of today. Likewise, it doesn't have to be a prison, but a place you chose to get victory. Before reading in verse 13, I want to give you a little context, and I want you to understand Paul's mindset. In verse 12, Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." To summarize verse 12, Paul is saying that even he, that battle-hardened veteran of the faith, despite his experience, despite his stand for the faith, had not attained perfection, but was still striving to apprehend and to know the purpose and person of Christ. I want you to think about that. Paul was saying, "I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I'm still learning." He was saying, "I still have some growing to do." This was at a time when the Apostle Paul had already experienced what most Christians have never experienced, being thrown in prison for preaching the gospel. Because of his message of repentance and redemption and the restoration that only God can bring, he is chased out of a city by an angry mob and stoned and left for dead, and yet he didn't quit. A man who started churches, who mentored servant leaders, who cared about the body of Christ. And yet this is his mindset: "I'm not perfect. There's more that I can do." It is with that context we find the heart of the Apostle Paul when he said, starting in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." As we read these verses, a couple of things jump out to me immediately. First, we understand the Apostle Paul did not feel that he arrived spiritually. "I count not myself to have apprehended." But he saw the danger of complacency and even comparing himself to others. This takes honest humility, especially if we want to continue to grow in our walk with the Lord. But he also addresses in verse 15 and 16 those who are spiritually mature and those that have progressed spiritually. And he says, and I paraphrase, don't get comfortable. As someone once said, a comfort zone is a beautiful thing, but nothing ever grows there. He challenges them to be of the same spiritual mindset, to press towards this mark, to walk by the same rule, to mind the same thing. This is what he is challenging them to do, to not live in the past, and we'll define that in just a few moments, but with Christ in focus, grow spiritually. Now, here's the thing. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible talks about God requiring the past. And there is this principle throughout Scripture, though those who are saved and covered by the blood of Christ will never have to give an account for their sin, it teaches we will all have to give an account for the life that God has given us. And so let me say it like this. Tomorrow will be yesterday before you know it. Forgetting those things which will be behind is not an excuse to disregard the present. Tonight I want to preach on this thought, when the past becomes the present. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we get to come together as your people and to open your word. We pray tonight that your spirit would have liberty, that, Lord, if there's something in our life that we need to address, we pray that that is revealed to us tonight. We ask that you would help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When the past becomes the present. To understand this, you have to understand what Paul meant. When Paul said we are to forget those things which are behind, he was not talking about erasing our memories. He wasn't saying that you couldn't look back on a fond memory. He wasn't being cold or calloused. He was cautioning us about letting the past control our present. If I can be transparent this evening, perhaps there are those here tonight who, because of their past, are weighed down and not able to run the race that God has for them. They live with guilt, insecurity, heartbreak, and even doubt. Perhaps they feel stuck thinking, how could God ever use them? Paul is encouraging us to not let our past paralyze us. And let me just say, in case it applies to anyone here tonight, you do not have to hold on to that guilt. You do not have to live with that shame. Can I remind all of us that the Apostle Paul had a past that he was not proud of? He persecuted Christians. He held the coats of those that stoned and murdered Stephen, the first deacon. He robbed a family of a father, of a husband, a mom and dad, of their son. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's in your past. And I don't know how it might compare. But can I tell you what the Apostle Paul came to know? God's forgiveness is enough. Your worth is not based on man's opinion. It is not based on those that think they have spiritually arrived or those that think they are spiritually superior. It's not even based on your past. Your worth is based in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have to let past sins and past failures define you. But let's not forget, Paul is also addressing those who are spiritually mature, those that have grown in their faith. They've seen God work in their lives. They've achieved spiritually. And I don't know how it might apply, but let's make a list. Those who God has answered prayer, whether that be financial, a job opportunity, or even a promotion, you didn't know how you were going to get through, but God provided. Perhaps it was a prayer of healing. You needed God to intercede, and he brought a miracle. Doctors couldn't explain it, but you knew in your heart, only God. That prayer of patience when raising children, praying they wouldn't forsake what they've been taught, praying that they would come to know Christ as their Savior, that they would honor him with their life. Perhaps it was praying for the salvation of a friend or a family member and then hearing that they got saved. Perhaps it was a high day in church, a high day in Sunday school, the best message you ever heard, the best song you ever sang. I mean, the choir was just on that day. God opened doors. You saw souls saved, people baptized, visitor after visitor in church. You know, the good old days. Paul said, what's behind is behind. That can't be our focus. Because if you're not careful, it will control you. It will consume you. It will apprehend you. It will capture you before you capture the heart of God. You'll seek a memory rather than seize the moment. That doesn't mean you can't ever live those days again. It just won't be the same day. And if we're not careful, listen to me now, we will elevate a memory to a level that it never was. And when God does something special again, you won't be grateful because it won't be like it was before. It won't be like you remembered it. It won't live up to your expectation. It's like remembering a place you went as a child only to go as an adult and not have the same joy as you did as a child. What does that say to God when God does something in our present and it doesn't live up to the expectation of our past? The next thing you know, you're not living in the present, you're living in the past. You're not growing, you're stuck, or perhaps you're complacent. Can I make a quick comparison? This is why the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years when they could have been experiencing the blessings of God. Don't miss this. They knew what God had delivered them from. And yet, when God gave them manna from heaven, they weren't content. Why? Because it wasn't as good as the food in their past. And that expectation put a limit on their God. Yes, it was because of disobedience. Yes, it was because of a lack of faith and trust in their God. But it was a mentality they had that limited their God. And though they were no longer living in bondage, they were chained to a memory. Can I help us tonight? You cannot do anything about 2025. You cannot do anything about your past, but you can do something about 2026. And here is the awesome truth. The past does not have to become the present, but it can become the fuel for your future. Instead of a distraction, it can give you drive. Instead of controlling you, it can bring you clarity. We can either live in the past or we can learn from it. That is what Paul is saying. And this is his challenge to the church, that we press towards this mark, that we walk by this rule, that we have this same mind, no matter where you are spiritually, no matter your past, we can all grow in our walk with the Lord. Very quickly, let me give you three practical applications and we'll be through. Number one, the past gives perspective. The past gives perspective. And perspective is a powerful thing. Perspective is a game changer. They say hindsight is 20/20, which gives you clarity when looking back on a time of confusion. You're able to see what you did not see in the moment. Now you know the outcome of a decision. And often the expression is used, I wish I knew then what I know now. Young people, that's why you need to listen to your parents. They're not trying to keep you from happiness. They're trying to keep you from heartbreak. They're not trying to make you mad. They're trying to keep you from misery. And you may not understand. You might even get frustrated. But it's because they have something that you don't. Perspective. Likewise, church, can I challenge us? That's why you need to listen to your pastor. We need to listen to our spiritual authority who's seen some things, who's counseled a multitude of people, families, marriages, children, single adults, dealing with a wide variety of issues, struggles, and critical life moments and seen the outcome of decisions. It's called perspective. Perspective brings into view our failures and successes. It allows us to learn from the past without living there so we can better our present. This is how we can measure spiritual growth. You messed up. Okay. Did you learn from it? You had a bad attitude. Did you correct it? This is where one has to be honest with themselves. Are we doing what we can for the Lord or less than what we can? And if we are all honest, there is an area in all of our lives where we can grow spiritually. It could be in our tithes and offerings. It could be in our church attendance. It could be our time in prayer. It could be our spirit and our interactions with one another. It could be trusting God with our future. Maybe we need to be a better gospel witness to those around us. It could be strengthening the spiritual relationships that we have or letting go of unhealthy ones. Maybe there's something in your past that's holding you back. Maybe it's something you need to forgive. Maybe you just need to keep doing what you're doing and keep Christ in focus. Only you have that perspective, and only you know the change or the consistency that is needed. But let me just say this. Paul was not ignorant of his past. Paul did wrong, and Paul was done wrong. But he did not let that define him. Likewise, Paul did not let his spiritual success get stale. He chose to develop spiritual disciplines that allowed him to continue growing in the Lord, and that is what perspective can do for you. Number two, the past gives purpose. Paul said, I press towards this mark. The past is the past. What's behind is behind. But because of Paul's perspective of the past, it gave him purpose in the present. Why? Because he had seen God do some things. He saw God heal the sick on the island of Malta. He saw a believer named Eutychus raised from the dead in Lystra. He saw the lame walk. Everywhere he went, God was at work. They'd throw him in prison, and God would bring an earthquake and shake open the prison doors. He'd see the very one holding him captive. The Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? God did not exclude him because of his past. Instead, God gave him purpose. God gave him a mission, and God gave him a message. The God of the past is still the God of the present. What God has done before, God can do again. And the same God that was there for Noah when the world was ending, and the same God that was there for Joseph when he was abandoned and lied about, and the same God that was there for David when he stepped out by faith, and the same God that was there for Thomas when he doubted, and the same God that was there for Peter when he denied the Lord, was the same God that was there for a man by the name of Saul, who is a church persecutor, who became the Apostle Paul, and it's the same God that is there for you tonight. Don't tell God that, or don't tell Paul that God can't save sinners. Don't tell Paul that God can't restore a life. Don't tell Paul that God can't change a heart. Don't tell Paul that God can't use you. You can remind Paul about his past, and you can remind Paul about all of the bad things that he did, just like people will do to you and I. But can I tell you what Paul remembers when Paul thinks back on his past? Can I tell you the one thing that Paul cannot forget? One day he was on the road to Damascus, and there he met Jesus. His life was changed, and in that moment, God gave him a new perspective, and in that moment, God gave him a new purpose. When others now would write off sinners, Paul saw the soul, Paul saw value. And make no mistake, there will be those who want to bring up your past. They want you to doubt. They want you to second guess because they don't like the conviction that you bring to their life. Do you remember what you used to do? Do you remember what you used to be? You know the things that they say. And the key takeaway there is used to do and used to be, because something's different, and that difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. And now your testimony is, you can bring up my past, and there might be shame, and there might be regret, but there's also salvation. And there's also a Redeemer who has given purpose to my life, and now it's no longer about where I've been, but it's about where I'm going. Paul's purpose went from persecuting saints to pursuing souls. And his perspective taught him there's no soul that God is unwilling to save. There's no soul that God is unwilling to forgive. No soul that God is unwilling to restore. No soul that God is unwilling to use. As a church, we must never forget that our God-given purpose is others, to help others like we were helped, and to use our experience to help them grow. Third and finally, the past requires patience. God will do a work in your life, and you can grow spiritually, but growth takes time. Yes, it takes persistence. Yes, it takes perseverance, but it requires patience. I like that Chinese proverb, one moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. Isn't that what we tell our young people? To be patient, to not rush into things, to not rush into relationships, to seek counsel. The same is true for all areas of our life. Some Christians get frustrated and they quit because they're trying to rush something that requires time. Don't get frustrated because you're not where you want to be. Be patient with yourself. If you're a new Christian, don't expect to be where lifelong Christians are. Likewise, lifelong Christians should hold their judgment because a new Christian doesn't get it after 2 weeks. You do not need to feel like a failure because you're not where you want to be spiritually. Just keep moving in that direction. If God's called you to ministry, be patient. In the meantime, prepare. Do what you can around the church. Develop a work ethic. Develop some skills. Whatever area is in your life that God has been dealing with you about, can I just challenge you tonight? Keep growing. Keep learning. Keep pursuing. Now, let me tell you what patience will do. Patience will cause you to pause and allow you to evaluate each step. It allows you to act with intention. It's not inaction. It's measured by perspective and purpose. It allows you to check your priorities. It allows you to make the adjustments needed to stay on course. It allows you to move forward and grow methodically and effectively. This is done through prayer and spiritual disciplines, which prevents emotionally rushed decisions, improves our focus, develops better relationships, and brings peace through spiritual judgment. Patience allows you to act on purpose. But all of this is based on what we do with the past. Paul was not naive, and I pray tonight that we will not be naive. Past ignorance is no excuse for present indifference. There's a time when the past has to reconcile with the present. And so Paul says, live what you learned. Guard your gains. Pursue progress. Be patient and let spiritual perspective and personal purpose guide you. Church, I believe, as our pastor has laid up for us, 2026 is going to be a great year. Let it be a year of growth. No matter your past, no matter where you are spiritually, let us press towards this mark. Let us walk by this rule. Let us be of this same mind, that we reach forth unto those things which are before. Heavenly